Welcome to DSO Overflow. I'm Glenn Wilson.
I'm Jessica Craig.
And I'm Steve Jaguar, the organizers of the DevSecOps London Gathering, a monthly community meetup for anybody involved in factoring security into their software delivery, which is just about everybody.
The DSO Overflow podcast is an extension of that meetup in the form of a relaxed discussion with our guests around the topics that feature in our monthly meetup.
DSO Overflow wouldn't be possible without the support of our listeners and, of course, our sponsors. Prisma Cloud. Cloud-native architectures have radically changed the needs of security operations and development teams as attackers capitalize on this ever-evolving landscape. Prisma Cloud breaks down silos, allowing for true DevSecOps workflows, full supply chain visibility, and enhanced responsiveness, ensuring complete security coverage across the entire application lifecycle. And Sysdig. Sysdig is driving the standard for cloud and container security. With Sysdig, you can prioritize software vulnerabilities, detect and respond to threats, and manage cloud configurations, permissions, and compliance. Your teams get a single view of risk from source to run with no blind spots, no noise, and no black boxes. And of course, a big thanks to musician Joshua Mann for our amazing DSO Overflow theme music.
Hello, and welcome to a very special edition of the DSO Overflow podcast. This month, Steve, Jess, and I are joined by Michael Mann. Together, the four of us headed over to a recording studio in Shoreditch, London, where we sat down to discuss everything about DSO Overflow and the DevSecOps London Gathering. It was a really good conversation, and we hope you enjoy it. Let's have a listen. Welcome to DSO Overflow, and today's a very special edition of DSO Overflow. And joining Steve, Jess, is Michael Mann, the founder. The founder of the DevSecOps London Gathering and DSO Overflow. So before we get started, I'm joined here by Steve and Jessica, and we'll be having an open conversation with Michael about all things DevSecOps London Gathering and DSO Overflow. So I'm going to start off, Michael, asking you a question. How did it all start with you? How did you get into cybersecurity?
Oh, right. So a few decades ago, when I was at university, I read a book called Masters of Deception, which was a reflection of two hacking groups in New York. And they were competing against each other. And they were compromising machines such as Sonos, a.k.a. Solaris. Kind of tells you my age or the generation I came from. And at university, we had Sonos machines as well. So I was kind of, mimicking what they were describing in the book as to the things I could potentially do in terms of commands, etc. And it was very exciting. And I felt I wanted to pursue this as my career. And obviously back then, there wasn't a security industry per se, right? When I was speaking to my mentors and managers, trying to describe what I wanted to do, it was almost like, oh, so you want to be the security guard outside a bank type thing. It's like, no. So that the book inspired me to start my career in security.
And how did you get to do what you're doing now, which is actually working in security? What was your journey into?
I find it unique that you actually started in cybersecurity, whereas most people start in drama school or something completely languages. Unrelated and then sort of fall backwards into it somehow.
Yes. I guess it's a different start to someone's career. So it's very intentional. I joined a company which is now defunct. It's known as Fujitsu now. Back then, it was a company called ICL, a UK company, consultancy firm. So I was part of their graduate program and did a few years there. And then I pivoted into the financial industry, working for merchant investment banks and such like. And this is where it becomes quite traditional in terms of the career. So very infrastructure centric. So looking after firewalls, proxies, the DMZs of all the satellite companies. So that was kind of the start. And then moved into more vulnerability management and then consultancy, architecture type work. So product security work. And then towards the tail end of that phase of my career, I focused on PCI DSS. Because prior to that, being a product security consultant, I felt like I was being beaten up by the business quite a lot. it was like, justify this security requirement. And it was that sort of political type of conversation. And after a few years of that, I felt, this isn't fun. And then PCI came along, which was obviously compliance security centric. And it gave me an opportunity to understand not just the technical aspects, but the process, the workflow, the organizational aspects of things, working in a virtual team or coordinating different teams to look after what we call the global PCI zone. So the in-scoped area for the PCI DSS assessment. And that's one of the highlights of my career, really, because looking back at it, we were a very small team, so four or five of us. Myself and another colleague, we were designated the technical service owner to look after, from a technical point of view, that particular solution, the annual assessment. So the what people call auditor, which is quite right, it's a QSA, it's a qualified security assessor, that comes in to determine your compliance status against the requirements, the PCI DSS requirements. We were all part of that program. So it was a combination of business elements, budgeting, so finance, as well as the technical side of things. So it gave me a lot of good experience in terms of exposure to the business as a whole, as opposed to you're a technical engineer and you look after this system and do upgrades and whatnot. So that was very enjoyable. And it felt very DevOps-y because it was like a cross-functional team. So we had program managers, compliance managers, project managers, two TSOs, a bunch of engineers kind of working for us, per se, to look after this solution. So cross-functional team, autonomous in a way in terms of finance budget. Also, it was quite clear what we were delivering against. So the DSS requirements, so, you know, circa 300 specific requirements, right? Not just technical requirements, process requirements. You know, when the QSA needs to sample the solution, because, you know, depending on the solution, it can be quite large. You can't assess everything. So it's a bit of a lottery game in terms of what they pick and choose, right? So you've got to make sure that it's all there. So that was quite interesting. So I did that for a good number of years and then pivoted around 10 years ago to my first encounter of what's now known as DevOps, but with a security slant. So me being security, I was kind of parachuted in one of my engagements to work with this team sitting in that corner over there, calling themselves the DevOps team. And it's like, what's this DevOps thing? Another new term I have to kind of learn and understand. But after working within that team, it all kind of made sense to me. And it's like, despite my roles or titles throughout my career up to that stage, My approach has always been try to follow through with all my engagements. So rather than just creating a list of security requirements and then throw it over to the project team and say, go deliver, right? And then maybe get involved with some sort of pen test scoping to validate the implementation. I wanted to kind of work with different peoples at different stages to understand how these requirements were actually being delivered, which obviously is very DevOps-y. And then kind of fast forwarding a few years into my first exposure to DevOps, I heard about this conference called DevTechCon. I missed the first conference by a day. I felt really gutted because it was like, oh, it's a DevOps conference with a security focus. It's like right up my alley. So I was pretty upset about that. I was conscious that I wanted to attend year two of that conference, which I did. It was great.
What year was this?
16, 17. No, it must be 16, because the meetup started in 17.
Right.
And so after attending that conference, it was like, great. I wanted more, but conference being a conference, it's an annual thing, right? The cadence is that. So I looked around thinking, like, you know, the likes of DEF CON, there are local chapters which I've been to. So DC 4420 in London, for example, there must be something similar. Because to me, it was a very hot topic. But there was nothing. And so I kind of felt I had a midlife crisis. Let me try to find the next chapter in my career. and so I thought of, you know, if I'm in this position, wanting more and wanting to learn this, because honestly, I didn't really know what it should look like. Maybe I didn't, at this point, I still don't know what it should look like. But I wanted to go through that journey, and I felt other people may wanted to come along with me. And so I had the crazy idea of starting a gathering, a meetup. But then I quickly paused because it was like, need to find a place to host it. Do I need to find refreshments in terms of food and drink, and content? At this stage, yes, I've been around the block for a few years, know a few people, but you know, this domain is still relatively new. So could I come up with relevant speakers, stroke contents to help myself and others to kind of understand this space? So lots of questions, and so I sat on this for about 6 months. But speaking to people, vendor friends and other contacts, like, say, I've got this crazy idea, but don't know how to start, et cetera, et cetera. So one of my good contacts, also a vendor friend, and it's definitely worth a shout out. So Sonotype, they supported and helped me bootstrap, kickstart the gathering.
Oh, nice.
So that, and the first one, because I was like, let's test this out. So I invited, I think, 6 people. So it wasn't an open invite. It was like, yeah, let me find.
Room.
Yeah. I have 6 friends. I only have 6 friends. Let's all come into a room. Let's have a chat. So I had 2 speakers. So one was a project manager, because I wanted not to just cover technical content as well, right? Because factoring security into your delivery, it's more than technical stuff, you know. And typically organizations structure their delivery through projects, so hence, you know, what's the PM's view, like the project manager's view, not product management, product manager's view of this and their experience, etc. And then the other talk was leaning towards a technical topic, and I can't remember what the subject was, but that seemed to sit well with my friends. I don't know if they were being polite about it, but it kind of, there was a buzz, and it was like, let's try this again, but open invite. And so the official public event was the second one, which happened in October of 2017, and there were, I think, 30 plus people. Mm. So it's like, nice. Wow.
I was one of them. I was there.
So it's like, wow, I think I'm onto something here, right? And so it just kind of grew from there.
You'd never run a meetup before, so you were kind of coming in cold.
Very, very. It's like I said, you know, hosting, refreshments, content. What resonates with me may not resonate with other people, right? So it's a bit of a learning curve for me in terms of trying to organize such an event. I guess naively or maybe selfishly, the content was, I found useful or would be of interest to me. So I made the assumption that other people would like it as well. So I guess I've been quite lucky on that.
Well, even the word DevSecOps, I mean, when was the first time it crossed all of our paths? It wasn't too long before that. Like, it hasn't been around that long, and it was even approached with some skepticism when people started saying it.
So with the term, about 10 years ago is when I was asked to work with the DevOps team. And obviously they knew I was coming in from a security background. I had a conversation after lunch with one of the guys. It's like, you know, how did the term DevOps come up? What does it actually mean? Where do I fit in as in security? And we came up with lots of different combinations. And it just so happens one of the terms was DevSecOps. I'm not saying I coined it, but it was an obvious combination, right? And I think DevSecCon, the conference, I think they kind of helped the community to like not talk about the term and say DevSecOps is the one to go for. I felt the conference kind of shaped the adoption of this particular term.
In terms of the actual format of the meetup when you first started, you was very much in favor of a community event that was almost driven by the community and is for the community and is something that you're very passionate about. What was the driver for that?
So to my point earlier, it was I wanted to understand more about this new domain, learn. And so I felt other people wanted to as well. And that kind of drove me to find fellow friends, right? I mean, I worked with you prior to the meetup, Glenn. But obviously, you've been along this journey with me. I met Steve because of this meetup. I asked you to present at the second anniversary event, right? And because of this line of work, I met Jessica yourself. So the community aspect for me is kind of twofold. It's networking, but also sharing our learnings and content. There's so much out there. I mean, just in IT, in security, let alone in this DevSecOps space, right? There's so much out there for people to kind of digest. To an extent, it's quite overwhelming.
What do you think it is about that meetup environment that allows people the space to be able to talk about potentially things that have gone wrong or projects that have gone awry or learning so openly? What do you think it is about that format?
I felt I was quite lucky in terms of attendees and the people that approached me to speak at the meetup in terms of wanting to share some of their work. So I remember one of the attendees, he was creating a Bastion host to kind of proxy access into a cloud environment, right? Which was I suppose looking back at it, was a legacy design pattern trying to fit into the new world, right? Which kind of made sense. But then the Bastion host can be what we now call configuration drift, right? So it will change over time, but nobody knows what's changed. Everybody's scared to make a change now because if you touch it, it may break. And nobody has access to the cloud environment. It's like, no. One of our attendees kind of approached me about their project to deliver this, to automate this, to build and configure this. So that was very interesting. So I felt I was quite lucky in terms of people actually coming forward to volunteer their experience and being willing to share with other people. So I don't think it was really me. I think collectively we all kind of foster a let's learn together type of journey, which obviously benefited me and others very well.
Well, as you said, the security industry definitely can be overwhelming, and in combination with DevOps and certainly the cloud native technologies, it seems to be a new startup or 10 new startups every day, introducing something strange that we're now supposed to already know. The meetup is a great way to go and maybe just have a little vent about all of that, but at the same time, have that sort of common struggle that is outside of your own workplace. That's what I think I really liked about it.
Yes. So you're not fighting a unique battle. Everybody's kind of at different stages of the same journey. So, you know, you learn from others, but likewise, because you've kind of done something, you can kind of share that experience with others who's kind of, it's going to sound really bad, but slightly behind, right, mm-hmm. relatively speaking, in terms of their experience or culture within that organization.
Well, for everything I'm ahead on, I'm behind on 10 others.
Exactly, which is why the community aspect is really good, because you can only focus on certain things, right? But there is so much going on. So if you have an opportunity to hear other people's experience, then you can kind of learn and absorb that knowledge through this. Which is why, you know, the monthly gathering, I feel is a good cadence for people within the industry to kind of take on and hear different aspects and different topics that's going on.
I guess also in addition to that, there's a focus on not being vendor specific. So the idea is to think about the technologies or the theories behind the technologies rather than focusing on a vendor specific tool or something. So that also allowed, I guess, people who came along to understand, you know, to cut through some of the crap that's out there and learn really what these tools could do and how they benefit them.
I like to view it from a, what are the delivery challenges, both from a process, but also from a technical point of view, and what do these open source and commercial solutions can offer? No solution's perfect, open source and commercial wise, right? So it's understanding what you can leverage from each of these solutions, but also how you need to compensate or mitigate some of the shortfalls, either through technical customization or through augmenting, creating new workflow. So filling the gaps for me as an individual is the interesting part. The pure technical side, yes, that's cool. But I gain more satisfaction from understanding that there are certain gaps that doesn't fit in this particular organization, but how can we address that?
I remember the second anniversary when Steve was invited along. I remember we spoke about this before the actual meetup, but you was very conscious what you wanted to do was to actually bring vendors in mm-hmm. and say to us, the community, how do I protect my tools? And that was a really good meetup. Tell us a bit more about that and how you came about persuading these vendors to come along and expose.
Share
their ideas.
Pull their pants down.
So, yeah, I kind of felt that, you know, nobody knows everything, right? But we have organizations which, you know, they have commercial drivers. They want to sell or provide solutions to help the industry and make money, obviously. But, you know, I most of their pitch would be like, oh, here's an SDL, a secure SDLC, right? It's not just an SDLC, it's a secure one, right? And you know, you've got all these sorts of problems and this is how we kind of fit in. And it's like, da-da, buy my solution, right? Which is fine. Okay, I understand that approach. But if you're creating a commercial solution, right, then if you turn the tables around, you're actually developing something as well, right? Just like end users or customers from their point of view. But surely you have internal challenges and internal successes as well that you can share your firsthand experience in terms of creating mm-hmm. Features, fixing bugs in your commercial product. So I felt it was interesting to ask vendors to kind of share what good looks like from their point of view, but also what challenges. Challenges is more important to me anyway, to kind of share and overcome. Or maybe you haven't really solved it. It's a technical debt that you're aware of, but you're not in a position to resolve that yet.
Yeah, I think where I was at the time, it actually is a credit because I didn't know how we did our own software. And I just started asking questions, which actually became the subject, the entire journey of trying to figure it out became the subject of the talk. But the result of my probing actually, I think, really actually improved our security, because we were a startup and startups tend to go product first, security second, even if it's a security product. So it was actually, it's a really fascinating subject and interesting and certainly relevant today, because you asked somebody who is a vendor how they secure their product. And given the sort of subject and the hot subject of supply chain right now, probably ahead of its time.
Oh, visionary.
Yes.
No, I think a lot of the, you know, no matter what the buzzwords are, et cetera, right, the principles or the basics of security, generically speaking, it's kind of there. It's just that for whatever reason, that security debt has kind of built up and the industry has kind of recognized certain aspects because of a breach or something and kind of put a label on it. And now that's the focus for the next 12 months or 18 months. Not saying that's a bad thing. It's definitely a good thing. But I think for people trying to break into this space, it's probably an important point to kind of appreciate that nothing's really new. It's just kind of labeled differently. Mm-hmm. But obviously, from a technical point of view, there are lots of nuances and different architectures with the different solutions out there, right? The one that really got me is Kubernetes. It's like, it took me a long time to get my head over head around that subject. And even now, I'm obviously not an expert.
I was also going to ask, you know, you set up the DSOCOTS London gathering, but on, I guess it was a year or so after that, you created DSO Overflow, which is this podcast. How did that come about, and what was the motivation behind that?
So I having in a monthly in-person event was a great start, but I wanted to extend the type of content to the community in a different format. But again, also selfishly, I wanted to really understand the technical requirements or the solutions around audio, setting up audio, recording audio, which was, I was going through a YouTube audio phase, right? if I get enough YouTube ads, maybe I can quit this job. But yes, the intention was to release a podcast in between in-person meetups and with the podcast to be an extension or precursor to the next meetup, so that the community can have another way to kind of digest the information. The meetup is named DevSecOps London Gathering. When it started prior to the pandemic, it was an in-person event. We're now back in person, but I think lots of international friends have kind of heard about us, and so with it being an in-person event, you know, the meetup isn't a good format for them, right? So the podcast being an audio format would kind of reach out to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And who was the first guest on the Overflow?
So my as always, it's my friend.
Yeah.
So he's Emre. So he's the maintainer of an open source project called Terraform Compliance. So this is going back a few years. The project's still active, but this is going back a few years. So it was one of the first tools that can assess your Terraform code. And the model he adopted was, so just quickly, just in case people aren't too familiar with Terraform, so there's a stage where you run a command called Terraform plan, which then lists out what are the changes you're going to make to your target infrastructure. So the Terraform Compliance open source project tool will assess that plan and determine if it's good or bad from depending on the rules you create, because it's subjective to your organization or to your particular project. And so, yeah, that was quite an amazing project. Great interview.
Did you find it difficult at the start, because we're doing it now too, which is a little bit meta, did you script it, or did you just ad hoc it? I mean, what was your approach to podcasting?
It was So my preparation was come up with like 15, 20 points, talking points that I wanted to surface and bring up. I'll share that with the guest speaker. But then during the actual recording, it just go with the flow, right?
So more prep than we did for you.
I tend to wing everything.
Not bad.
Did you find that people were diverting from those, the original talking points? Do you find that gave the podcast that sort of organic feeling that you get from the meetup presentations? Do you think that people like opened up a bit more potentially?
Yes. I mean, it's always great to do some preparation, right? You can't really wing it 100%. But depending on what actually happens at that point in time, then I like to go with the flow. So if the conversation goes down a particular rabbit hole and that sparks other points for me to bring up, I will deviate. And if we don't cover the original 15, 20 points, that's fine as well.
I wonder whether or not we could go back to one of the points that you brought up just now, where you talked about, you spoke about how everything's happened before and it's just under a different label.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think we are at the moment with, have you seen any trends crop up that you're just like, I've seen this before, I know what this is?
Well, software supply chain, right?
Okay. I mean,
buzzword, hot topic, has been for the last 12 months, will be for the next 12, 18 months, right? It's an important subject. But to me, and again, because I'm probably old, you know, you're understanding the different components that makes up your solution. That this concept, this idea is, it's not new.
Mm-hmm.
The emphasis or the way you approach it may be somewhat different. But the landscape's different. The technical landscape's different. So how you actually do it is, or the ways we're thinking about doing it now,
mm-hmm.
Is completely different as to how we would have done it 10, 15 years ago. So supply chain, hot topic. Everybody kind of knows it's not, I assume everybody, it's not a new topic per se,
mm-hmm.
but an important one to really, for us as a community and an industry to really address now. It's great that people are paying attention, but only because I think breaches are now kind of mainstream news. You know, 10, 15 years ago, breaches weren't that common in terms of mainstream media and coverage.
Yeah, and there was some really conscious... Sorry, did you want to... Oh, there's some really conscious like repositioning around and how breaches were handled, right? There was this point in time over the past 15 years where they were giving a name, like a name beyond a CV number.
Like Heartbleed.
Yeah.
And WannaCry. Yeah. And,
yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And that completely changed the way that we...
I think that was a turning point, yes. Yeah. Definitely. It was always in... technical people like to label things, right, and come up with interesting names. So the ones you just mentioned, Heartbleed, etc. It's like... Mm. And their own logo, right? For yeah. that type of vulnerability. Why not?
Got a sticker for them. So, just thinking about what you're saying there about that supply chain, I think one of the things I often say to people when they say, "Oh, you know, why is a state actor going to be interested in me? I'm just a small company." And I just say, well, "Who are your clients? You know, if you've got large clients, then you are a target." You know? So, it's important.
Yeah, there was funny that you should say that. I think there was an article that I was reading recently that was talking about. I think it was they were interviewing the head of Clearwater, and he was talking about how the implications of paying a ransomware, just paying up when mm-hmm. you get hit with ransomware, and it often means that you will get hit again, and potentially the sort of the most attractive targets from an attack perspective are not usually the ones that potentially are household names. They usually have as you say, like really lucrative client bases, or they will be, they will pay once, so they potentially will pay again, or potentially they've worked with a like a payment broker who has been in that sort of situation of like, hey Rick, how much is it this time? You know, it's an established pattern. I don't know if that's.
And there's a whole insurance industry growing up out of it as well. So another question for you, Michael, about DSO Overflow and DS London Gathering. And is that about the word gathering? Why gathering? Why? What is your thinking there about gathering? It feels like a religious cult all coming together.
Like a card game.
No,
or a card game. Yeah.
Again, it was the least line of resistance for me. I felt the term meetup was a bit cheesy, and. When I was trying to come up with a name for the meetup, kind of felt obvious to use the term DevSecOps, right? And I was in London, so it was like DevSecOps London, but it was an abrupt end. So I was like, but it's a gathering, right? It's a gathering of people, so hence the name.
Okay.
Very simple. I'm a simple person.
And then you also went international, I take it. So you've got, we know there's one in the Netherlands. We've been there. How many other DevSecOps nameplace gatherings are there that you're aware of?
Sticking to the point around DevSecOps Netherlands. So, yeah, good friend of ours, right? So he flew into the UK to attend one of our meetups, and he approached me and said, look, I've got the same sort of idea. I want to start something up. I was like, that's amazing. That's really cool. Let's kind of stay in touch. So our friend Dominic. And so he did that. And then myself, Glenn, and a couple of other friends, we actually trekked it over to... Well, Amsterdam, but the event was just outside Amsterdam, so we spent a day going over to Holland to attend and support the meetup, which was cool. I believe there are other DevSecOps meetups in the world. Touchbase, I think there was one in Sydney, Australia, definitely in Australia, one or two groups over there. But I think there's a bunch of others. They may not necessarily have the name DevSecOps, but they kind of talk around this subject. So shameless plug. I mean, you know, if you believe meetup.com, then we're the largest independent DevSecOps meetup in the world.
So, because we cut this out, we're 11:15, and I don't know how much more time we have.
Yeah.
But I would like to... kind of ask the elephant in the room about this. All sounds like everything you built up between DevSecOps and the gathering, the DSO overflow, and then the pandemic. There was a point where you decided that you're going to let us take over.
Right. Yes. So, so the pandemic hit us March 2020. We had planned and lined up a in-person event, but because of timing, it felt we needed to cancel that, so we did. I was monitoring the whole situation in terms of what other meetups were kind of doing, etc., and they were pivoting to Hangout, Zoom. I didn't feel that was right for us, because to me, part of the meetup, apart from delivering a talk, it's the interaction, right? Meeting new friends, meeting old friends. It's that networking, that community, the gathering aspect. And you can't really simulate that in Zoom or Hangout. So June 2020, we did nothing as part of the gathering. But I wanted to come back, continue delivering. And so I came across a virtual platform which was free at the time. It's now gone commercial, right? Yeah, it's a great platform. And so as part of 2021, I asked Glenn to kind of help me out with rebooting the whole gathering from a virtual point of view. And then in the same year, September, our fourth anniversary, I kind of felt that it was from a personal point of view, maybe yeah, from a personal point of view, it was kind of a good time for me to take a break, have a pause, kind of reset myself in terms of what I wanted to do from a career point of view. Now, obviously, Glenn, you were helping me during the course of that year. Steve, I've known you and stayed in touch since inviting you to talk at the second anniversary, and obviously you've got other community activities going on as well. And we met, right? And so I kind of felt these are three great people. I wanted to kind of step back a bit, as I described earlier, and felt that you guys, or asked you guys to consider taking this on going forward, in which obviously you guys have accepted and have been running this for over a year now. So thank you very much.
You must have found it quite difficult though, because I know when you did start to hand it over, you sort of said, I'll just kind of sit in the background.
Yeah.
But then there came a point where I think you just had to let your baby go, I guess.
Yeah. I didn't want you guys to perceive that Michael's running away and dumping this onto you guys, right? Hence the hybrid approach, as it were. But then as time kind of went on, because I've been running it for so long, right, because it was always just me, I felt maybe you guys were under pressure because Michael's still in the scene. It's like, so Michael, I don't know what Michael's thinking or how he would do it. And so I felt I was kind of hindering you guys in terms of taking this on. So hence the final decision to like completely step out, as it were, but obviously stay in touch with you guys so that I wasn't casting a shadow over you and stopping you from creating what you need to create to take the gathering to the next level.
So the first time you weren't at the gathering, right? First time there was, you knew there was one on, and you weren't there. Was it kind of weird?
Yes, yes. It took quite a long time, really, for me to, you know, even after making the decision to say, right, you guys run with this. Don't worry about me. I'm off. Still trying to stay in touch on the other side of the table. Yeah, very, very odd, very different.
Ultimately, no regrets. We're recording this.
No. From a personal point of view, I'm still going through a reset program, reset process. I've watched you guys kind of. Could you guys
careful
know each other but not really work together, so yeah. For me to then try and pull a team together to take something on, right, I really feel thankful that you guys accepted, but also I appreciate, you know, working together as a team. There will be some teething problems, right? And so what you guys are facing are very different to the types of challenges that I was facing to try and resolve and run a meetup.
No, well, we have no problems whatsoever.
We're no, absolutely... we get along fine. Never been any miscommunications. It's a dream, really.
It's all good.
And I think it's also... we want to do the meetup justice whilst and there's a lot of ground to cover, isn't there? There's as you say, there are things coming up all the time. There are new threats that occur, there are new breaches that happen, there are new ways of doing things that suddenly become popular, and it can sometimes be difficult to keep. We always try to make sure that we're keeping each meetup or each podcast or each session like somewhat valuable, right?
Yeah.
Relevant.
We've got a nice mix as well. So obviously with Steve and Jessica, you're both fairly technical and you've got quite a lot of technical contacts, you know, and I'm very theoretical, so I tend to bring in the theoretical side. So we do tend to mix it up a bit with a bit of theory and a bit of technical practical stuff as well. So I think that's been a nice balance that we've had over the last 12 months or so since we've been running it as the three of us, I think.
And it's been great with that everyone still is excited about DSO today and its origins. Like we start off every meeting, we're just like, this was founded by Michael Mann. did you find yourself wanting to keep up that community work in other aspects of your work? Like, did you find yourself like wanting to scratch that itch in other ways, for want of a better term?
Yes. But I don't know if I've changed in terms of where my mindset is, in terms of personal life, but also career. I think the community will always have a place in my heart, but how I stay in touch, get involved, will be somewhat different.
Thank you so much, Michael, for coming along and sharing your story with us. I'm sure it will bring a lot of pleasure to our listeners. If there's anything, last message you want to give out to listeners, how they want to get in touch with you, if they want to reach out to you, how would they do that?
So I have a personal blog site called dsotraining.github.io, or you can find me on LinkedIn. So it's Michael Mann, M-A-N, one N, not double N.
Not the producer or director of the films. So thank you, Michael, for coming along. Thank you, Steve, for joining me, and Jess as well, for posing the awkward questions. I'm sure. Been a real pleasure. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you for having me.
That's a wrap. So thank you for listening to this episode. Please contact us via email at team@dsolg.com if you wish to either give us a talk at a monthly gathering or come and join us on this podcast. And if you enjoyed this podcast, please don't forget to leave us a review from where you downloaded this episode. It will help us spread the news about DevSecOps and reach a larger audience.
And we'll catch you in a month's time for our next DevSecOps London Gathering Meetup and, of course, the follow-up podcast, DSO Overflow.
I'm Glenn Wilson.
I'm Jessica Craig.
I'm Steve Jaguar.
See you next time.